And today I want to talk about decisions today. Is this a one standalone message about decisions? Amen. How many know that 5 years from now, you and I are going to be a sum product of the decisions we're making today and tomorrow and the next time, next year? How many understand that? We're all going to be a product of those decisions. Now, it's very important to know that we are constantly making decisions in our lives. Even when we are not making decisions, we are making decisions. Today, our text is going to come out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 19. It says today, this is what God says today. Right? Say, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. And I'll call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. I want us to compare a little bit. I want us to anchor that verse with other verses in the Bible. But I like the fact that God says today. He doesn't say tomorrow. He doesn't say yesterday. He says today I have given you the choice. So every morning, every day that you and I wake up, we are confronted with a choice to make. And the choice is either between life and death, blessing and curses. And God says, hey, I call heaven and earth. In other words, heaven is watching, earth is watching, and he says, I want you to make a choice today. But he says, choose life. Choose life. Now, you have to understand that he's not talking to people that are on a death row having an option whether to die or to live. He's talking about people who are living. He's saying you're making choices, but he's saying make your choices so you can live. Now, there are two kinds of choices that we always make. There are life-giving decisions and life-taking decisions. Now, for the lack of a better word, I use the word life-taking, but I hope you understand that every single day, you and I are making life-giving decisions or life-taking decisions in every area of our lives. And we're going to unpack this a little bit. Now, life-giving decisions are the decisions that solve the ultimate purpose of life. The ultimate purpose. We all have that ultimate purpose. For instance, I want to be healthy, or I want to be spiritually close to Jesus, or I want to be financially free from debt. You know, we have ultimate purposes, or I want to have a good marriage. I want to be this. And those are the ultimate purposes, and life-giving decisions will always lead to that. But life-taking decisions or life-sucking decisions or life-subtracting decisions or whatever way you want to call it, but the opposite always satisfies your immediate gratification. And those decisions we all fall prey to, where we find ourselves making those kind of decisions that are just gratifying me right now. Now, for example, if I say today that, you know, I want to wake up in the morning and go for a walk, go for a 2-mile walk, that is a life-giving decision. Because now I'm doing something that brings life to my living. But I could also say I'm going to lay on the couch and eat Doritos. That is also a life-taking decision. But you're living. But the decision you're making in the moment is giving you an immediate gratification, which is what I feel I want to do right now, or I can choose to do a life-giving decision that doesn't satisfy my immediate need, but actually serves an ultimate purpose in my life. Now, you know what the raw truth is, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to be very truthful. You and I are part and responsible of every decision we've ever made. Amen. That is important for us to accept, Because only when you believe that you are part and responsible of every decision you've ever made, then you will not be a victim. You will not blame anybody else. Because then you can take responsibility and say, you know what? It is not the person I married. It is me. Or it is not the kids I raised. It is me. You know, you begin to understand it is not where I live. It's me. It is not anything else. But you and I have this common truth. We are part and responsible of every decision we made. Every wrong decision I've ever made financially, I was responsible. I was part of it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for those two amens.
Thank you.
It's really encouraging this morning. Amen.
Amen. Give us some examples, Pastor.
So this is not meant to make us feel bad, but actually to help us. Really, because the first place it begins is that I have to take responsibility. I have to take ownership. And if I do that, then I'm able to say, okay, now I can make life-giving decisions because I'm taking responsibility. I'm now blamed because the more I blame, the more I play victim, the more I'm not empowered to make the life-giving decision from that point on because I'm stuck in blaming or playing victim. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to take ownership of my life now. Because today, despite what anybody has done, despite what has happened around me, today, God says, I give you a choice.
Amen.
Today, I give you a new day between life and death, blessing and cursing. Today, I want you to make a choice. Now, I've always found it easy to make life-sucking decisions in my life or life-taking decisions. Every life-giving decision is always a lot of work. Anybody realize with me? It's not easy to do the things that serve us better, right? So let's talk about today how to make life-giving decisions. Okay, number one, I have to stop making excuses for myself. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I may have to just ask you to say amen, because if I don't, I may not get enough this morning. I have to stop making excuses for myself. The truth of the matter is nobody cuts me more slack than I cut for myself.
Amen.
Nobody sells to me more than I sell to myself. I am my worst enemy. The person that I lie the most is the person I look to in the mirror every morning. And I make excuses because I don't want to feel bad about myself. But the truth of the matter is, the more I make excuses for myself, the more I lie to myself. And when I lie to myself, it takes me away from the ultimate purpose that I know that I want to satisfy my immediate gratification. Now, you said give us examples. How about we do that? And I'm going to ask you also maybe to give me some examples about that, okay? So, how do we lie to ourselves and make excuses? We say, well, you know what? Have you ever heard people say, I'm going to eat that because I'm going to do that? Okay, let me put more life to it. I'm going to eat that pie because, after all, I'm going to go to the gym. Okay? So I make excuses, right? Okay, now it's your turn. Give me some examples. When do you... Yes?
I'm going to smoke a cigarette now because I'm going to go to the... I'm going to go to the gym in 2 hours, so I want to get it out of the way.
Good. All right. Marion?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to... or something more. I'm gonna smoke a cigarette because I feel it so greatly.
Okay.
That, you know, I just can't do anything else.
Okay. Hey, Harry.
I'm gonna get up in the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning and walk down this long hallway with my walker twice.
Now, that's a good decision.
Life-giving, right?
Yeah, that's life-giving. Yeah, that's life-giving. But how do we, I'm talking about how do we make excuses for ourselves? Yes, Nancy?
I miss breakfast and lunch, so I'm going to go to McDonald's.
I miss breakfast, so I can go to McDonald's. Good, yes, Mark Miller.
Many times I just say I deserve it.
I deserve it. Okay, I deserve it, right? Okay. Yes, dear.
We're getting ready to start a fast, so I've got to get everything in.
Oh, very good, very good. That one is called, like, we're about to set it first, so we're about to fast, so let me eat as much as I need to. Okay, you're making excuses for yourself, right?
I'm going to steal the freeway risking a ticket because I'm late.
Okay, okay. I'm speeding because I'm late. Okay. All right, Sherry.
I'm the same with Anita. I deserve it so I can eat what I want.
I deserve it. So I, okay, okay. Got it. Jess?
So how about, I'm going to take, I work hard, so I'm going to take that vacation that I can't afford.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I deserve, same thing. I deserve it. I worked hard. I can't afford it, but I'm taking it. Okay, yes, Buck.
I know that the brothers will be able to attend prayer meeting, so they can pray for me so I don't need to call in.
Yeah, they can pray without me. I don't need to call in. I don't need to be part of the prayer. You make excuse for yourself. Very good, very good. All right, Tom? Yes, I'm gonna eat it. I don't want to put it to waste. It's like, yeah, right? Sarah?
What?
What?
I want a really tight budget, but I gotta get my oil change, but I really want that brand new purse.
I wanna get that purse, right? Yeah, how about, oh, I'm gonna get those shoes because I have a new dress.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. You know, I want to get out of debt, but I need those new toys. So we, many times, we make excuses for ourselves. We let ourselves off the hook. So what happens when I make excuses for myself, then my decisions are not going to be life-giving.
Yeah. Jesse has one for you.
Jesse, you have one?
Oh, no, that's all true. I said, well, I can just keep on sinning because I'll be forgiven.
Oh. Yeah. That's deep, right? Because we hear so much about the love of God, right? You hear about the love of God. He's forgiving, like, yeah. Well, I can see now you forgive me. I make that excuse. I lie to myself, right? Then, if I have that lie, I'm going to make a life-taking decision. I'm not choosing life, right? It's been a hectic week, so I'm going to go eat or drink or do this. I've had a very stressful week, so I need to do this. So many times, if you make excuses for yourself, you're going to find yourself making those decisions that don't serve you with life, but take life away from you, right? Okay, number two. And before we go to number two, here's a thing that I was skipping, but I think we shouldn't skip that. It's like in the moment of your life, really being honest with yourself, because the greatest gift you can give yourself is being honest with the guy in the mirror, the one you look at in the morning. Ask yourself, I'm about to do this, but is it a life-giving decision? I'm about to buy this. Is it a life-giving decision to my finances? I'm about to go here. Is it a life-giving decision to my marriage? I'm about to treat this person. Is it a life-giving decision? I'm about to go hang out with these people. Is it a life-giving decision? You need to ask yourself, I'm about to do this, but I need to be brutally honest with myself. The thing I'm about to do, I may feel I need to do that. Everything in me feels this is what I deserve and I need to do it. But you have to ask yourself, is it a life-giving decision? Number two, be driven by values other interests. Now, this is very important to understand that if you're going to make life-giving decisions in your life, decisions that will bring life into you, you need to make sure that you put priority on values over interests. We live in a time where today people are more driven by interests. You know, like, you know, I want to build my friendships on interests, you know? And you're like, oh yeah, we both like football, or we both like this, or we both like this kind of stuff. But if the values don't align, then your decisions will not bring life. Because many times we find ourselves that the things we choose is rarely what we value. There's always a tension between the things that you value and the things that you have interest in. The things that you have interest in most times are the immediate stuff. Yeah. And the things that we value often are going to be the things that are ultimate. We all know what the right values are. We understand what the right values are. We know that, you know what? Many of us, we hear about we value knowing God. Right? We value knowing God. We value being close to Jesus. We value having spiritual vitality. We value prayer, don't we? We value being solid, and we value marriage, don't we? Being good husbands and good wives. And we value health. Can I get an amen? We value those things. But how many times do you find yourself that the choices you make don't line up with what you value? You value health, but you're picking up a donut. But you value health. You're like, yeah, health is good, but yeah, but I'm going to eat this. Yeah. Or you value marriage, but you keep choosing isolation. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do me. I'm going to be, I'm not done. You value isolation. I mean, you choose isolation, but you value marriage. And you find that there's a tension between what you choose and what you actually value. Or you can say, well, I value being close to God. I value Jesus, but you have no devotion life. Like you don't, you know, maybe Sunday is the first time you worship God the entire week. Maybe Sunday is the first time you even had a thought of giving God worship and praise, but you value Jesus. So now what is the disconnect? How can I value this thing, but yet my decisions don't support that? Yeah. Why? Because I find myself putting priority over my interest over what I value. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see, even in marriage, my wife and I have very few things we have interest, that share interest in. But what we have is values. Great marriages are not built on some interests, they're built on some values. Okay, because I don't like the movies she watches. She doesn't like the movies I watch. We don't have the same interest in that. We don't have, she likes going to the shopping malls and spend, I don't like doing that. Right? We have so many different interests, and we have the liberty for everybody to do what they're interested in, but what brings us together is values. Those are non-negotiables. That's where the foundation is. And it's very important that if I'm going to make life-giving decisions in my life, I need to always remember, what are my values? Not what I'm interested in right now, but what are my values? Because if I focus on my values, then my decisions will be life-giving. Because there's not a person here that has wrong values. We all have good values. We all value everything we're supposed to value. We all value health, we value close relationship, we value marriage, we fight, but many times our decisions don't support what we value.
Good. That's good. That's good.
Right? Amen. Do you know how many people value peace?
Yes.
But then choose not to forgive?
Yes. Yes.
So why? Because I'm not interested to forgive you or to let go, but yeah, peace I want. So we have to make sure that this tension or disconnect that exists between our decisions and what we value, we align that. We say, you know what, God has given me a day today to make a choice between life and death, and I need to make sure that my choices are based on my values, not on my interests. Amen? Number three, depend on others. If I want to make life-giving decisions in my life, I need to learn how to depend on others, the people that God has brought in my life. You see, here is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We've always thought that to be independent is to be strong. We've always thought to need others, to count on others, to allow others to help your life, to open up your life for others, to depend on others, has always been sold to us as a sign of weakness. Wow. So then we build up these walls like, yeah, I don't need nobody to help me. I can do all. I'm strong. I am strong. I don't need nobody. I am strong. And we overwhelm ourselves. We overwork ourselves. We burden our lives because we feel like I can't depend on others that God has put in my life. Now, granted, there's people in our lives that are undependable. That is the flip side of it. It sucks, but it's true. We all know people we can't count on, right? But then there are people that God has put in your life. Maybe you have one or two or three. You may not have to count on five people, but you have one person you can count on. Do you have two people in your life that you can count on? If there's one person or two, those people have to be allowed to be part of your life, because there are many decisions in my life that I look back that if I just took a moment to call one of those people, maybe I would have not made those decisions. Those decisions, I look back and I say, well, those were not life-giving decisions. They didn't help my finances, they did not help my marriage, or they did not help my health, or they did not help my life. But had I taken a moment and said, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Amen. Maybe that person could have checked my thinking and would have helped my process of making a decision. You see, when God says, I've given you a day today to make choice between life and death, blessing and cursing, one of the benefits that we have is the people that God brings in our lives to help us make the decisions that lead to life versus decisions that lead to death.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
So I have to make sure that in my life I'm incorporating the blessing of community, the blessing of the people that, you know, just like it works. How many of you look back and say, if person A never came to my life, I would have been well better than I am today. Right? Because that person came in your life, influenced you to make a decision, you look back and regret. You're like, man, I would have done that if it wasn't for that person. But they came into my life and kind of... Right? We look back. A lot of times when you look back, you can trace decisions on people. Which people were in your life at that point. And at that point, it maybe looked good. But 5 years later, you're like, man, that was dumb. But because there was somebody, there were people, key players in that moment. But here's God saying, forget yesterday. Forget last year. He says, today. It's a new day. I give you a choice. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Now I have to look back and say, okay, who are the people that I can count on? I can depend on their wisdom, their integrity, their knowledge, their reliability. Can I involve them in my decision making? Because I have the opportunity now to make life-giving decisions and not decisions that lead to death. This is why you and I need others. This is why it's okay to get help. This is okay to let people into our lives and be part of our life. God never designed you and I to be independent of others. It is a lie from hell that you can do all by yourself. God never designed us that way. We are all members of one another. That's what the Bible says. We are one body. That's what the Bible says. We are the army of the Lord because there's no lone soldier. We're the body of Christ because we're designed to depend on one another. And the devil is fighting that. He's fighting that. He wants you to believe you can't count on others. Yes, you can put a smile, but keep a wall up. It's time to open up to somebody. Let people help in making the decisions that you can make. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that if you and I can't get better at making life-giving decisions, it will hinder us from helping dying humanity around us. I say that a different way. I can't help people around me unless I get better at making life-giving decisions. So if I get better at using this principle you've said today, that today God has given me a choice, I need to be better at making life-giving decisions, then it puts me in a position to help those around me. So go back to this verse. It says, today I give you a choice between life and death. God says today. You notice how God doesn't choose for us, but gives us a choice? He says, between blessing, now I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. So every morning, God's lenses are on your 24 hours. His lens, okay, let's see what choices. What choices are you going to make today? Every single moment. Oh, that you choose life now. That is like an expression of desperate wish for somebody. Oh, that you would choose life. God says, I wish you would choose life. Why? So that you may live. Why did Jesus come? John 10:10. Jesus came that you may have what?
Life
and life abundantly. But the thief came that you may steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants to destroy my health. He wants to destroy my finances. And how is he going to do that? By the decisions I make.
Amen.
There's some financial huge decisions some of us have made, only to find out we were wrong. But only had we talked to somebody else, maybe, would have not signed on those dotted lines. And we have to work through that. We have to pay for it. But once we get through it, God says, hey, let's not keep making the same mistakes. Let's now realize that, hey, I need to know what my values are over my interests. I need to depend on others that God has put in my life. And I need to be able to say, you know what? I will prioritize my values over my interests. I'm going to do what is right. I can't keep lying to myself and making excuses for myself. Choose life so that you may live. Now, Jesus said, or not Jesus, but the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, it says, you see, God, when God says choose life, now think about it. God can never tell you to do something that he's not willing to help you do, right? So if God says choose life, he's going to help you choose life. Because many times the things that I value are hard to do, right? I mean, if you want to have a disciplined exercise living life, it's hard, it's not easy, right? Eating healthy is not easy. Forgiving is not easy. Living a life without grudges is not easy, right? Being devoted to prayer is not easy. It's a discipline to pray every single day. All those things that we ought to do that we value are not easy to do. So God will never tell you to do something that he's not going to help you to do. So that's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. In other words, the things I need to do that I'm not doing, I can do those things through him who strengthens me. When you see the word, I can do all things, doesn't mean all things objectively. It only means all things subjectively. All things to only which Christ can back up. There's some things I can do, but Jesus won't back up. So if he can back up, then I can't claim that. He's only going to back me up on the things that he values that I'm struggling to do because I tend to go for my interest, immediate gratification. And so he's going to say, because you have a fallen nature, human nature, you always choose the easy, you always choose what is gratifying, what is comforting right now. I'm going to give you the strength to do what's hard to do against the human nature. I can do those things through Christ who strengthens me. I can, this disconnect, this tension, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know about you, but I've struggled in my own life because I've always had these values, but I found out that I wasn't doing things to help my values all the time. Just because I value and I need to make life with Jesus doesn't mean I have it. Just because I value health doesn't mean I have it. Just because I value great marriage doesn't mean I have it. Just because I value financial discipline doesn't mean I have it. What we value doesn't mean we do have it. There is it. So by the way, Jesus says, if you value the things that little, like the things that matter, if you value prayer, if you value closeness with Jesus, and you're struggling to pray, then he says, I can pray through Christ who strengthens me. You value God's word, but you make no time for God's word. Then he says, you know what? I can make time for God's word through Christ who strengthens us. Or you value fasting, but you can't do it. All right, he says, well, I can fast through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I value peace, but I can't let go. I'm bitter and I can't forgive. I can forgive through Christ who strengthens me. So when we read this scripture, we have to understand that he's implying that I'm with you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you make the life-giving decisions that line up with my will, but I'm going to give you the strength to do it. I will back you up, says God. I'll back you up. I'll back you up. So I'll back you up, says God. So if I believe that, then I can say, you know what? I can eat healthy. I can be sober. I can be clean. I can forgive. I can pray. I can read the Bible. I can fast. I can give. I can serve. I can care. I can do all these things, not in my own ability, through Christ who strengthens me. Today. Amen. Today. So, how about we have a little bit of talk? Here's what I want us to talk at our tables. Question one, what sort of things would Christ strengthen you to do? Look at your life, talk about that, right? Question two, give an example of something you value yet find yourself choosing differently. Number three, how does community play a part in Christ strengthening us? Okay?